Drink in the Style was recorded in front of a live studio audience. If you enjoy the program, please subscribe and then leave a 5-star review. Anything less than that, keep your mouth shut and you're dead to me.
Here we sit enjoying the shade.
Hey, brother, pour the wine.
Drink the drink that I have made.
Hey, brother, pour the wine.
All right, so our theme for the first half of our program tonight is interior design. My guest is interior designer's interior designer, Amy Hagelin. Amy, welcome to Drink in the Style Live.
Thanks for having me.
Well, that was...
Am I close enough to my mic? There we go. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome, and your enthusiasm is noted.
Yeah. Do it again. You got... Woo! There we go. Thank you.
Oh, this is going to go great. All right. Let's get some alcohol into our bloodstream, if I may. Our first round of cocktails is being furnished by Bartender for Hire Bartending Services. Hey, bartender, courtesy of owner Naomi Bell. Naomi, how are you tonight?
I'm doing awesome, Greg. Thank you for asking, and thank you for having me.
I'm enthused because you have some absolutely amazing cocktails that you have. But before you dive into it, because I will forget this after I'm drinking, tell us all about Hey Bartender.
Yeah, so I started this bartending service this past fall. I actually got the idea from a very good friend of mine. I've been bartending at an establishment in the metro for 14 years, and I have a very good following of people that come to see me daily. And this gentleman gave me this idea for a virtual bartending instruction class business. And I started bringing it to my regular guests at the place that I work. And they said, no, we are so sick of Zooms post COVID. We are done with the Zooms. We want you in person. And I said, all right, give them what they want. So I revamped the entire thing. And now I do in-person instructional cocktail events where I bring in friends, family, coworkers, and we make drinks to go. And we're going to be making
mixology classes, right?
Absolutely. I bring all the tools. I bring all the ingredients. You all make the drinks yourselves. They're not just a tequila soda. They're actually fun, hard drinks to make. So very fun. Everyone gets to socialize and enjoy them together. So
fabulous. So what are we going to be enjoying this evening?
Tonight, our first drink, we're going to be doing a Hey Bartender Socials Original. It is a black walnut brown sugar Old Fashioned. I know that Old Fashions tend to be more in the cold weather months. However, I wanted to start the party with a very strong drink, as Old Fashions are, so we can get the party started. All right. So first, would you like me to start the drink?
Yes, okay. Indeed.
Perfect.
Sobriety.
Yeah. You're like, please give me a drink. All right. So first, we're going to be using Woodford Reserve today. So we're going to be using 2 ounces in each cocktail. So quite a bit of punch in this cocktail. So we're going to put 2 ounces of our Woodford Reserve into our shaker. And I took the liberty of making a homemade brown sugar simple syrup. As you all know, it's quite easy to make simple syrups at home. Usually equal parts sugar, equal parts water. This is brown sugar and water. So we're going to do 1/2 ounce of that into our shaker. And we're going to be using a specialty bitters. It's a black walnut bitters. A general rule of thumb for Old Fashions is only 2 to 3 dashes of bitters per, no more, no less. This one is quite potent, so we're going to be using 2 dashes of the walnut bitters. And we're going to be using 1 dash of orange bitters. Now, I'm not sure if all of you know, but Old Fashions are not meant to be made with muddled fruit in the bottom of the glass. 99% of the time you order at an establishment, it's going to come out with all the pulp in the bottom. That is not the original recipe. The original recipe is just well-balanced flavors of bourbon, a sweetness, and bitters.
And that's how they do it in Wisconsin.
Correct. That is, yes. And exactly. So today we're not going to be muddling any fruit whatsoever. We're going to add some ice to our shaker. And another rule of thumb for Manhattans and Old Fashions,
You never shake. You only stir. So we're going to take our bar spoon and we're going to stir for 15 seconds, basically just to get that alcohol cold. We don't want to dilute the well-balanced cocktail too much. So after we take our bar spoon and stir for 15 seconds, we're going to just strain it right on top of the big ice cube. Do y'all know the science about the big ice cube and why we use big ice cubes in old fashions?
No. Do tell.
All right. So it is because we do not want it to melt too quickly to dilute the flavors of the drink. So it is a slow melt. So after we do that, we're going to take an orange and a peeler and make a zest. This is the only orange besides the orange bitters that's going into your old fashioned. You're going to take that and rub it along your rim. Twist it over it to give it that little hint of orange in the nose and in the mouth as you're drinking. And just a simple cherry garnish on the top. And you have yourself.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Okay, our studio audience has received their old fashions early. Those with limited self-control have already tasted them.
I'm looking at my wife right now. So this is awesome.
You've got them ready for everybody. Let's raise our glasses and give it a try, everyone.
Salut!
That is, oh, okay. That is delicious. Absolutely delicious. I'm not going to lie, Naomi. When I saw what you were doing, I was a little worried because I hate sweet cocktails. But this is not sweet. How do you manage to do this without... The people who are watching a stream on TV know exactly what happened there. I've been denied. Yeah, no, this is absolutely fantastic. We will be posting the recipe for the black walnut brown sugar old fashioned on our website at drinkinthestyle.com. So everybody go and take a look at that. I encourage you fully to make one yourself. All right. Now, let's go with tonight's totally random question and courtesy of Claude Artificial Intelligence. This is one of the AI bots online that will do the work that we're supposed to do creatively. Amy, you get to talk now. Are you excited?
Yes, I am. That's my favorite thing to do next to shopping.
Fair enough. All right.
Talking and
shopping. Claude wants to know, if you could live in any fictional world, what world would that be?
Any fictional world?
Mm-hmm. Any fictional world whatsoever. Book, literature, TV, movies, your own twisted imagination.
Oh, I'd say movies.
Okay, good. I'm glad you didn't go with the twisted imagination.
Oh, that, yeah. You don't have time for that.
Which right. movies?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more.
Anything with travel. Just travel and romance and fun and everything. Because a movie, anything can happen. Yeah. So
fair enough. All right.
Yeah.
This is our audience participation section. And again, this is the first episode of Drink in the Style Live. So we're trying this all out
of nowhere.
I think
it's working pretty well.
So far, yeah. Audience, are you having fun? I really like this power. All right, audience, I'm going to ask you the same question. If you could live in any fictional world, what would it be? And I have pre-selected four options. So as you hear them, you may make whatever noise you want to make, applause, hoots, hollers, whatever. Vote as many times as you'd like. The winner will be determined by volume. So we asked Claude Artificial Intelligence its answer to the same question. And here are the top four answers it gave. Tell me which one you agree with most. All right. Any fictional world that you could live in, would it be number one, the wizarding world of Harry Potter?
No,
that was a dud.
Everyone's like, no,
that was a no. Not happening.
How about the distant galaxies of Star Trek? Star Trek? Oh, there we go. We got a tepid response there. The Marvel Universe? Any Iron Men and Scarlet Women? We got a couple Scarlet Women. I can see it, unquestionably. Or number four, the world of Westeros from Game of Thrones. And I'm assuming no one will be attending weddings. What do we think there? Anyone? You, was that yours? All right. Well, regardless, Star Trek carried it away. So to Star Trek as the winner.
Hey. Is Star Trek with the Klingons?
Star Trek does have Klingons. Yes.
Okay. I'm like a Trekkie. I don't know.
You're not a Trekkie at all?
No.
I'm a huge fan of I used to love Star Trek. I thought about putting in Star Wars, but honestly.
That's what I would have done.
It was too COVID-y remember-y because everybody had a respirator.
It was my first movie that I went to. My father took me to it when I was 5.
Are you serious?
Yep. My first movie was Star Wars. My brother and I. Yep.
Oh my God, that is so warm and things.
I know. And, who knew I had a heart?
They were rumors, but I've always totally.
Thank you. Yeah, nah.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we need to take our first break of the evening. Say you care.
And though my pocket may be empty. It's the good life. Full of fun seems to be the ideal.
We are all class. And right now, I swear, I really want to swear. But you can figure what I want to say.
I love it. So, Amy, tell us a little bit. What is your process for approaching clients?
Well, I'm fortunate enough at this point in my career where my clients typically approach me. I'm typically a referral-based clientele at the moment. So I do advertise in some magazines and different publications around the city because that does refer it solidifies the referral. But basically, I would say that a project I work on, they refer me to a friend. Their friend comes to meet with me. I interview with them. If it's a good match, then we work that way.
So talk about that, though. When you meet that client, that referral, what do you... Amy is having a lot of fun with my microphone stand.
There we go.
It's a family show, Miss Hanlon.
Okay.
So
good thing you don't have visuals there. So
sadly, we do actually.
We do need. Yeah, we're not. We're not televised yet.
YouTube or Facebook, you're missing out because it's
happening.
It is happening. Really, in the sense. So when someone's referred to you, though, how do you engage them? What are you looking into?
What are those key things?
I think the biggest thing is to make sure that we have the connection with the designer and client process for me is that I want to be sure that we have a soft introduction. Then as you're going, you want to know more and more about this couple or person that you're working with and their travels. Travels are a huge thing. I want to know where you travel to, what your favorite place is, what your favorite hotel is, all of that, because people want to bring that back into their home to feel like they have this luxury. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a high priced item, but it's a luxury of visual, of feel, of comfort. Any of that is a huge thing to know about them to then bring into their home. That's the first thing I like to start with.
It's actually brilliant. I have never heard of a designer who takes it from that perspective.
Yeah, because when you think about it, when you go on vacation, when you're doing things, you're most happy when you're on a vacation or you come back. I went on this vacation. I had the best time. And what do you remember from that? So be it the linens, be it the view. An example would be I had a client on Lake of the Isles, and he had beautiful gardens, and he used to go to Hawaii all the time. And he loved how the doors all of the bifolding doors would all, you know, open up into the patio. You just walk out and the outside is then in. So we did that to his house. We put the construction company, put beams up. We did everything to, it was a Tudor style home, and we created this oasis for him. That was basically what he loved when he was on vacation.
That is amazing. You mentioned the linens, though. I do have to say, I remember Amy and I have been friends for a number of years, and one of her clients brought her out to Tuscany, was it?
Well, keep talking. I gotta keep hearing. I think he listened.
They put you up at the like 12th century castle, and you showed up in the linens.
Yes, that was in Florence.
Embroidered.
That was in Florence.
Florence.
Yes.
Linens were embroidered with your initials at the hotel.
Yes.
Is that that is amazing?
I got to take it home with me too.
I love that. You also stole a few soaps, I believe.
A few things
and a couple of drinks out of the mini bar.
Just class with a K. Class with a K.
I love it. I love it. Do you know, I would love to know, and I appreciate it because we're on radio, it's a little bit hard to distinguish this, but for anyone who's not familiar with your work, how would you describe, we talked a little bit about your approach, but how would you describe your style if left to, let's say, because I know you're very client driven, but if left to your own devices, like what's your style?
The issue is I, as a designer, my style is what my client's style is. That's my job. My job is to be on top of what they love. If they're traditional, then I'm traditional. If they're contemporary, I'm contemporary. If they're modern, then I'm modern. That's my job. My job is to not make everybody's home the same color palette, the same look, any of that. That is not professional in my opinion. My job is to make everyone's home unique to themselves because they're the ones who are in it. I don't live in it. I'm not there every day. They are. So they need to be comfortable and love what they're in all of the time.
It's so true. I mean, you've experienced this as well. And at Habitation Design, for example, we have lots of clients who come in and they like bought everything from, I don't know, I'll just pick someone at random, restoration hardware.
Boo.
Oh.
Boo. Didn't have to do anything. Well done. Great audience. Top notch.
Yay! Hey!
But yes, they come in and they literally spent like $300,000 on everything Restoration Hardware has to sell. And suddenly they feel unfulfilled. They don't feel like they're at home. They don't feel like this is their spot. Well, what the heck?
And you'd be hard pressed to see if it fits.
Yeah. Oh, and the scale is
way
off,
too large.
Completely.
So,
But you can't simply inject yourself into a catalog. You need to have someone who can do exactly what you're talking about, which is find out who they are and create their space. Right.
Yes.
I love that approach. I love that you're saying where do you love to travel? Who are you essentially? Because someone's space is it's an artistic arrangement of who they are as a person.
Well, and the thing that can happen also is that people could travel to one place one time and have an experience of a lifetime. You're in your home all the time. You need to have an experience of a lifetime every day in your home. That is why you're here.
How true it is. I mean, seriously, your environment is going to affect how you feel at every moment.
I'm glad that's recorded because I'm going to go back to that one.
Yes.
You nailed it.
It did. It came out good.
But so what about the interior design process itself? You know, how does that work?
I think each designer has their own process. I would say mine starts with interviewing the client, making sure we're going to connect well. From there, I don't do a contract. I make sure it's an agreement. The agreement is different than a contract because a contract is binding in the way that you have to really, if you guys don't get along, if we're not getting along, you have to fulfill that contract. I do an agreement. And in the agreement, if we don't agree after a little while, we're done. Because there is no point in me being in your home and with you every day, taking care of this until you move in and not getting along. Because all you're going to do is resent everything you sit in, look at, and touch. And that's not what I want.
It is true. You are the queen of firing clients.
Greg, don't say that. Don't say that live.
You're fired.
next 17 minutes will be filled with blank air.
It's just gonna be Sinatra songs. It's gonna be me doing karaoke Sinatra.
100%.
Oh my gosh.
All right.
Well, you know, I would love to know. I'm gonna be nice with the questions, but I would love to know, how do you know, like, when do you have a really great client? Like, how do you know, hey, this is gonna be a really good fit for the both of us?
It snowballs. It morphs into where you start talking and you keep talking. And I mean, I'll be texting people in the evenings and on weekends. They'll text me and email and everything, but I will answer because at the time that's important to them. Probably should create some boundaries here and there. But right now, when you're in the midst of these projects, there are certain things that come to people's minds as it's happening, and they want to know about that. They want your input on it. So, you know, I think that process wise, you start just moving and moving and shaking with them. You just keep going. You have your outlines of what you do because you're doing the selections. Your builder guides you on that a lot. The architect, you've got a builder and architect typically you're working with. You know, at this stage here, I'm not just doing furniture selection. It is working with a builder, working with the architect. If it's new construction, remodels also, because everything gets really in depth now. And also, if you're doing some remodeling, you start to get into little bits in areas that you open up a wall and you're like, oh no, something's wrong. So, okay, solve the problem. We are there to help solve problems.
It is true. I mean, it's so architects, when they put together a plan, they do not think about interior design. They don't think about where sofas go. They don't care how long a wall is, even though, frankly, it's insanely important. And in working with a client who has a larger project like what you're describing, they need a guide who will tell them this is what you need to think about.
Well, and you will come into contact with architects that think they're designers and they want the whole thing to be about what their vision is. It's not their vision. The vision is the client's vision. The client talks to the designer. I'm the advocate for the client. So when I'm working with the client, I am the advocate with them to the architect and the builder. So you have an entity of a lot of people you have to come across for your client.
Yes.
And you're an advocate for them on their budget. You're an advocate on the look, the timeline, all of it. So there's a lot of hats that we wear. I think people think, you know, designers and decorators are this, you know, la-la situation. And really, when you're doing your job, you're not. You're managing expectations for your client, which in turn makes them happy. And that's my job, is to make them happy. It's not my job to make the builder happy, and it's not my job to make the architect happy. Yes, I'd like referrals from them, but the client is the ultimate goal.
But there is that sort of dance of diplomacy that happens.
Oh, you got to tap dance all day long.
Oh, you do.
Yeah. You do. You do.
And yes, sometimes you don't. I mean, frankly, I've seen a lot of designers, and the best of you are scary.
Can be.
I mean, Greg, you already got fired from your own show, so.
I know, right? It's absolutely true. All right, fantastic. Let's take another break.
Spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. There may be trouble ahead.
Recorded and broadcast in front of a live studio audience here at 9 Mile Gallery, located in the district at Edina. And our guest for the first segment has been Amy Hagelin. Amy, you have been amazing.
Thank you. She has been amazing.
That was breathy.
I know.
Ladies and gentlemen, excuse me for just a few moments.
Nice. Oh, dear Lord.
Before we wrap this up with your segment, tell us how to see your work and get in touch with someone who is legitimately one of the most badass designers in the Twin Cities.
Thank you for that. It's just my name, Amy Haglund. Google me and my website will come up. It's Amy E. Haglund Interior Design. I am officed out at International Market Square, downtown Minneapolis, and they just did a remodel. So come in and have lunch. The atrium's open and you can see a lot of the beautiful products and things that are available to the trade.
Amongst others. So thank you so much, Amy. You were absolutely fantastic.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Enjoy.
Ooh, honey, though our friendship ceases from now on. And listen.